Just before I start, just say something about the 40 days of prayer. It won't be a literal 40 days of prayer or even teaching on it because we've got a couple of visiting speakers in the middle of it, so it'll be protracted, but you get the idea of what we're after with the title 40 days of prayer. Just for those who run small groups of any kind in the church, there will be materials available for midweek use. So if you do meet in a midweek group, and maybe you don't meet every week, I want to encourage you maybe think about meeting a bit more during that period on the Sundays, because there will be some stuff to delve into and a chance to pray in those groups as well. So what we want to do is through that time in the midweeks to not just talk about prayer, but let's be praying as well. So just think about that. But we will also be running a central group here for those who are not connected to a midweek group, which Joel is going to be running, again, to take some of the material from Sunday morning, go a little bit deeper with it, and then a chance to pray as well together. So just have that in mind as we move forward into the 40 days. We just do sense that God wants to do something in that period with us. And so, you know, interesting as well, the word that Tony brought about prayer. It's not just about let's have more prayer meetings, it's about being a prayerful people. So have that in mind. Okay, you know, as we have our words on a Sunday morning, whether we're in a series or whether we're not on a series, you know, I know that others and myself, we pray faithfully and say, Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to have the right word this morning. We want to have, we want to be where you want to be this morning. And even if you've got a set title, you're still saying, Lord, just want to be faithful to what you want here this morning. But even more so when you haven't got a set title and it's an open preach, I find myself more and more saying, God, what do you want this morning? As I bring the word, what are you after? And as I was preparing and thinking and praying about this morning, knowing that I had an open preach, which I don't often get nowadays, saying, God, and all the time, God kept taking me to a certain area of the Bible. So if you can put my first slide up, second slide, sorry. Where do you think I found myself? Yes, not palms, psalms. And psalms are all about worship, so they're about prayer and singing and praying, anything that you might think of in terms of worship, it's in there in the psalms. And so I found myself in the psalms and thinking about the psalms, and psalms kept coming to my mind, and I felt God say, what are you in the psalms this morning? And so it's always good as well when, you know, I took the opportunity this morning to just stand at the back during the worship. And the minute I walked in the building this morning, before I even got up here, some of the things I was seeing, it was like God was saying, this is why you're in the psalms this morning. I was observing things that God was saying, this is why you're here this morning. This is why you're in this book this morning. It's an encouragement when you do that, and God just says, you're in the right place. And some of the stuff we've heard this morning, thought Katie's word was so appropriate this morning for the things that God's been doing in my heart over the last couple of weeks as I've looked at this. So we're where God wants us to be this morning. So I want to encourage you to be ready and open and listen. If you need a Bible, there are Bibles available at the back. Just stick your hand up, somebody will put a Bible in your hand. Also, if I can have one or two volunteers, you can interact with me this morning or you can just listen. It's entirely up to you. But I've asked people to prepare some sheets for you this morning that you can either choose to fill in while I'm preaching because you're bored, or you can take them home, or but just some things to work through. As it's preferable to being on your phones or on your iPads with Facebook open. We had a rule when I was on KST, for those who are here who don't know what it is, KST is a a theology course that our churches do. And when I was on it for 3 years, one of the rules was you're not allowed to be on your social media during the talks unless you hear something that you think, that's an amazing quote, or that's really good, and you want to put that up on to social media. We were allowed to then go on to social media and put that one thing up and then come off social media. So, if you want to use Facebook this morning while I'm preaching, you need to listen, just in case I might say one profound thing that you want to put on Facebook. It might just happen, you never know. Okay. So don't worry about the pieces of paper. If you don't want to do them, they're there if you want to do them. But I want us to engage a little bit with the Psalms this morning, not just listen to me. I want us to think through something. So what do we know about the Psalms? If I take my glasses off, it'll help me. I can see you great, but I can't see what's in front of me very well. So Psalms written by at least 7 authors, I'm sure more, but at least 7 that we know of, of which David will be the most notable to us. Obviously, David is a shepherd boy, David is a king, wrote many of the Psalms, spanning something like 1,000 years of the history of Israel, from the time of Moses right through to Babylonian exile. All of the Psalms are used to reflect different aspects of worship. And you know, those who have been around me for any length of time know how I love worship. There's no greater place to worship than in the Psalms. In fact, most of our worship, you find you root into Psalms somewhere. I want to say something about that as well. I do observe, I'm an observer of people, I'm an observer of situations, and you know, you might think we're just singing. We're just singing psalms, we're just singing songs, we're just whatever you're thinking. It's amazing as we sing our hymns, our psalms that are rooted so much in Scripture, how much goes into our thinking and minds and is there for a long time. And we never know what God will do with that further down the line. One of the things I was reminded of this week was, you know, we can and sometimes do decry some of the old hymns or songs that we used to sing years ago. Sometimes for good reason, sometimes we look at them and think, well, you know what, theologically they're a bit thin or they're a bit, you know. But I was challenged by my thinking on something this week as we went to visit Elaine's auntie, who is in her last few years at least, if not shorter. She's failing. Every time we go, we think she's failing. And at one point, she talks to me quite a bit, actually, surprisingly. If Elaine goes out the room, she'll open up to me in all sorts of ways. But one of the things, and I can't remember whether, I think Elaine was in the room at this point, but she talked about, she said, I like to sing, you know. She said, I sometimes find myself in bed singing. In fact, she said, her neighbors are really good with her there, look after her so well. But, and they're coming every day and see how she's doing. She said, in fact, one day I was singing at the top of my voice in bed, and the next day the neighbor came in and he said to her, what was that noise last night? She said, noise? That was me singing. He said, it sounded like a load of cats have got in. But she said to me, this is what got me. She said, you know, I found myself, and she's not a believer, maybe going to church now and again, but there's no evidence for me that she's a believer as we would say that. She said, I found myself one night singing the old rugged cross. And I thought, and how many years ago did you learn that? And we can decry some of this stuff, you know, but it's amazing how it triggers something in our old folk that maybe have just touched church a little bit, but it's never really got hold of it. But then you just sing a song that they heard years and years ago, and suddenly there's something there and the spiritual elements are awakened. So whatever you do, don't ever despise any of the worship that we have. I love worship. I was on the keyboard this morning before I come out, just preparing myself, worshiping, and you know, I span, even this morning in my worship time, must have spanned about 40 years of different styles of worship, of some of the modern songs we sing now and some of the stuff that I used to sing when I was a child. And there's so much richness in the worship. I just want to encourage you, don't ever despise worship. It's a great asset to us. The book of Psalms is made up of five books, five sections, containing a total of 150 individual psalms. The most famous one that most people know, 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's My Shepherd." The word psalm comes from a Greek word, I'm told, meaning a song sung to the accompaniment of a plucked instrument. And that's another thing, you know, I thought about this morning. I thought, the guys who wrote these psalms, they didn't have a lot of what we have. They had a lyre with maybe one string. How'd you like to play your guitar and lead worship this morning, Mike, with just one string? Or they may have just had 10 little strings, their hands. They didn't have what we have. We have the privilege of being able to switch on an electric piano and make all sorts of lovely sounds. We have the privilege of being able to go onto Spotify for all our younger ones and download great worship, and suddenly we're in a sense of God's presence. They didn't have all that. Yet, they were able to create such worship that we enjoy today. We need to value what we have and enjoy it. So I just want to encourage us this morning in that first. So here's a question for you. It's on your sheet as well. You can fill it in now or you can fill it in later. But what's your favorite psalm? When you think of the psalms, what's the psalm that your head goes to? For some of you, it might be Psalm 23, because you know it so well. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 24. I love Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, everything in it, the world and those who dwell therein. What does that mean? It means whoever you are this morning, whether you know Jesus as your personal Savior or not, God made you. It's His world, and you are His. Who shall stand before the Lord? He who has clean hands, a pure heart, doesn't worship idols, doesn't make false promises. And then them last verses of that psalm, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." What's your favorite psalm? It's one of my favorite psalms. I quote it so often. But I found myself, as I was preparing, not rooted in Psalm 23, not rooted in Psalm 24, but actually rooted in Psalm 42. So maybe you'd like to turn to Psalm 42 this morning. Psalm 42. And again, I don't know whether you're like me. Get rid of that before I kick it anymore. I don't know whether you're like me. Do you know what? You can get a sense sometimes if you read certain psalms. Do you know what? When we go to church, if we're going to go down to church and worship, we need to be on the best of life. Everything needs to be good. How can we go to church if we're not feeling good? How can we go and worship if we're not feeling good? You can get that sense at times. On the other hand, you can read some psalms. I read some psalms and think, how on earth does this guy get up on a morning? He's so down in the dumps. It's like, what? What is it all about? You can read the Psalms sometimes. It's like the road to our house. It's like up and down like this all the way. You think, am I on a high? Am I on a low? Where am I? And one of the comforts that I get as I read the Psalms is this. No matter where we are, no matter how we feel, we can go to God as we are. Not how we'd like to be. Not how everybody else thinks we should be. We can go to God how we are. Oh, I'm thankful for that. It's an old hymn, isn't there? Again, we can decry with all the oldness of it, but just as I am, without even a plea, I can come to God. I don't need to be something special. I don't need to be in the best of shape. I can still come to God. It gives me hope and it gives me strength to know I don't have to be on my best. On many of the psalmists, it's very clear we're not at the best. Possibly at times at their worst. I wonder if somebody, Jackie, come and read Psalm 42 for me. I just want you to hear a different voice for a while.
Whole thing.
All of it, yeah.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Amen. Just bear with me for a minute and do something for me, will you? Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. And as I ask this question, when I talk about the Psalms, sometimes people, some of them seem to be on the highest of the highest of their feelings, and some of them seem to be down in the depths and the lowest they've ever felt. Just put your hand up for me if you say, I feel as though I'm on the heights at the moment. I'm enjoying life. Life's great. God's great. Everything's absolutely great. Just put your hand up if that's you. Thank you. Now put your hand up if you would say, I feel as though I'm at the depths. I feel as though at times I just can't get up. Will you be honest and put your hand up if that's you? If you think, I struggle. It's hard. Yeah. Put your hand up if you feel as though you're just in the middle. It's all right. It's not high, it's not low. Yeah. Thank you. Open your eyes. The Psalms for every one of those situations. The Scripture does, but the Psalms particularly do. So I just want to think about these Psalms, and whatever you put your hand up there, you get what you need to from this Psalm. Starts off, doesn't it, as the deer pants for the water. I just want you to, as you look at that picture of the deer, I want you to think about it. This morning I want us to engage and creatively think, not just, you know, at one level, but actually think a little bit. I want you to imagine this deer, but I want you to imagine it's just been chased miles and miles by a lion or a tiger or whatever, hunting it, trying to catch it. It's ran for its dear life, and it gets away, and it's worn out, and it gets to the water. I want you to think, just how much would that verse be appropriate? As the deer longs for water. It's not just like you or me, I need to go to the tap because I'm a little bit thirsty. It's ran its life into the ground to save its life, and it hits water. Do you think it just gets to the water and has a little lap of the water? Or do you think it jumps in with every ounce of its body and takes in water, not just in its mouth, through its every bit of it it can take in? It takes in that water because it is so desperate for that water. And the psalmist here is saying, we need to desire God like that. That we're so desperate for God that we just want to be right in. Not on the edge, not looking on, not just taking a little sip, but in everything that God has for us. That's the picture that the psalmist is trying to create here. As the deer pants for the water, so I pant for God. How desperate are we for God? Are we that desperate? Or do we just want a little sip and then go home? And then that's all right. Have a think about it this morning. Where are you at in that? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. The other thing that the psalmist does in here, which I want us to think about, is this. The first thing he does is he's honest about where he's at. And next slide, please. Recognize where we're at and tell God where we're at, honestly. You know what? I've heard people say, and I'm not sure how much I agree with this. I've probably touched on it a bit myself, and the more I go on, the more I question it. I've heard people say, you know, it's all right to shout at God. I'm not so sure, you know. I'm not so sure if I was in the presence of God, I would ever shout at him. But it is good to be honest with him and to tell him where we're at. I do quite often. Put your hands up if you talk to yourself. Yeah, these are all the ones. See them later. I probably don't do it enough, but sometimes we need to talk to ourselves and then in that talk to God and say, God, this is where I'm at. God, I'm feeling great. I'm high. I'm loving it. God, actually, I'm not so good today. Another one of my favorite scriptures that I often quote, in fact, I was praying it this morning. As I was laid in bed and I woke up this morning, I began to pray. And I said, God, today, you be the glory and the lifter of my head. I encourage myself with scriptures, sometimes even before I get out of bed. Just, Lord, I want you to be the glory and the lifter of my head this morning. We can only do that if we know the scriptures. We can only do that if we're reading the scriptures. Scriptures are so important for us to root into God. But recognize where you are and tell God is my first encouragement this morning. God's not disturbed by the fact that you're honest with him and say, God, I'm not having a good day today, you know. He gets alongside you and says, well, come on, let's see if we can make it better. And who better to make it better than the King of Kings? The Lord of Lords. So my first thing is be honest. The psalmist, he says, I'm in tears. I'm finding it hard. So that's the first thing. Tell him honestly about where you're at. My next point, these are all simple points, but they're important points. My next point is this. Recognize lies for what they are. Wherever they come from, recognize lies for what they are. Because the psalmist in this psalm, he's struggling, and all his friends around him, or his enemies around him, are telling him, yeah, where's your God now? When it's tough, where's your God now? You know, when we go through tough times, we can tell ourselves that as well. The lies can come from within. God, you've abandoned me, he says. Might feel like that, but at some point he recognizes it's not the truth. And we need to root into the truth, not the lies. Wherever those lies come from, we need to deal with them. So actually, the truth is, God says, wherever you are, however you are, I am always with you. How can a God who says, I'm always with you, have abandoned you? The two just don't go together, do they? So even in our tough times, when we think, God, where are you? He's there. Now, does that mean there'll never be tough times and it'll always be good? No, it just means in the tough times, he's there. And you know what? In the tough times, he understands. He's been there. He knows what you're going through. Gives me such comfort to know whatever I go through, I have a God who knows. Wouldn't it be awful if we were going through circumstances and we were going to a God who said, don't know anything about that. Never been there. Don't understand it. We are confident we have a God when we go to him and say, do you know what, God, I'm struggling because my dad's dying. I'm struggling because my brother died. I'm struggling for whatever. He says, I know. I know what it's like because I've been there. He understands, he cares, he's always there. Deal with the lies by telling the truth. The truth of what God says, not what everybody else says. There are plenty of people who want to tell you things to put you off or make you struggle. Don't help them by doing it yourself. The world loves to knock people when they're down. Loves it. I was at a football match yesterday, speaking of being down. At a football match where in the 90th minute we got beat. But as I say, I'm an observer of people. And Stephen and I and my grandson were sat really close to the pitch and very close to where the players warm up. And they're running up and down in front of us. And one of the players, those who know football will be aware of this. One of the players was in the news this week for tax, being arrested for tax evasion, him and his wife. And he's warming up, ready to go on the pitch. And the crowd, well, one of the crowd particularly, but then a few started to join in with him, immediately picked up on this and thought, he's about to go on the pitch. And they started to sing to him, pay your taxes, and shout things at him. Now, do you know what? In the midst of it all, it's a bit funny. But what were they trying to do? They're trying to get into his mind so that when he goes on the pitch, he's not good against us. They're trying to unsettle him. And that's what people do, and that's what the devil does as well. He wants to get into our minds and unsettle us. Don't let him. Recognize those lies and deal with them with the truth, wherever they come from. Then what I do love is this. The psalmist begins to remember what God's done for him. There's a space, I think, I hope, on your sheet at some point where you can go home or or even now as you think of things, write down all the good things you can think of that God's done for you. And no matter how tough it might be now, there's always a time when you can look back and say, you know, I remember when God did this. And tomorrow, I'm looking forward to him doing this. Might be tough now, but I have a God who did great things for me. I look back over my life time and time again and think, God, thank you for what you did for me there, or there, or there. If Roddy was here, he would talk about, now I raise my Ebenezer. I'll leave you to go home and find out what an Ebenezer is. If you don't know what an Ebenezer is, go and look on St. Google and find out what an Ebenezer is. And it'll take you back to the Bible. We need to have those moments we could go back to in our life and say, I remember then. And you know what? Whatever happens, nothing can shake me from those times. God did that. Biggest one, I root back to when I was about 12 years old and I found out for myself, realized myself for the first time, I needed to know Jesus personally. I couldn't ride on everybody else's knowledge, and I gave my life to Jesus. No matter what happens to me now, I can root back and say, I'm a child of the King. Because that day, when I was about 12, I gave my life to Jesus. If you haven't got that in your life, that's the first one you want to get. The time when you meet Jesus for the first time and be able to say, I know, because I know, because I know, because that day I gave my life to Jesus. I'm not like some people where I can give you a date, but I know there was a point where God became the most important thing in my life. Hasn't always been easy since, but I can root back to it. And there are many things in my life I can root back to. What are you rooting back to? What has God done for you? Just think about it today. Talk about it today. One of the things they do in the Psalms and in the Scriptures regularly is revert back to what has God done? Lord, we remember when you parted the Red Seas. Lord, we remember when you gave manna from heaven because we had no food. Lord, we remember. What are the good things? Yeah, we can remember the things of the Bible. We can say we remember that Jesus died for us, all those things. But what about in your life, day to day? What are the things that you can root back to and say, God did? Because that's what the Psalms are about, rooting back to God. In the good times, in the tough times. So remember what God has done. And then encourage yourself in God. Most of you know one of the things that I talked about when I first came back in September was some of the struggles I'd had before summer and how I got to the point where I thought, I've got to begin to seek an encounter with God. I need an encounter with God. And God took me through some stuff in summer. And one of the things... you know, it's great. I was talking about the fact of how people can knock you down and try and put you off. It's great when people do the opposite and actually encourage you and build you up, isn't it? And one of the things that helped me through my time when I was just struggling and trying to hear God and then going through this encounter, a great source of encouragement to me was this young lady sat down here who was constantly sending me things to read, to look at. And Holly, I'm pointing to, for those who can't see who I'm pointing to. And she was a great encouragement to me. And you know what? The place I was in, at times, she never got a reply. She never knew whether it was hitting the mark, not hitting the mark. But she was faithful. What she didn't know was everything she sent me, I was looking at and then going back to. And it was doing something in my head and in my heart. One of the things that she gave me, and actually, this is interesting as well. I'm all off topic here, but, well, not off topic, we're off my notes. She gave me a book. She said, you need to read this book. And it was by Bill Johnson. strengthen yourself in the Lord. The ironic thing is that that book sat for quite a while before I brought myself to open it. And when I brought myself to open it, I realized I'd bought it months ago on Kindle and hadn't even opened it. So I was able to give it back and say, actually, I've got this book. I had it there all the time, but I'd never opened it. And I read that book, and it just strengthened me. It encouraged me. But one of the things that encouraged me was, again, we don't need lots of other things. We just need us and God sometimes. We can strengthen ourselves by rooting into God for ourselves, especially when it's tough. Sometimes when it's tough, we don't want anybody else, do we, if we're honest? There are times when we are like that, but we want God, and we can strengthen ourselves. Great book. If you're struggling, read that book, Strengthen Yourself in God. But we need to encourage ourselves in God. As I read this psalm, I know time's going, as I read this psalm, the other thing I noticed was this. He recognizes where he's at. He recognizes the lies. He encourages himself in God. And you think, he's through it. And then a few more verses on, he's back again. Where's your God? Why am I so cast down? And then he starts to preach to himself again. My hope is in God, he says. And that, my final point, very simple point, is this: keep encouraging yourself in God. I shared with you my story. I shared you how I sought this encounter with God. And you know what? I had a great summer of encounter. As I've started since September, has it been all on the clouds ever since? Absolutely not. What I've done is thought, I need to keep encouraging myself with God. There will always be things that can knock you. But there's always things to go back to God to and say, thank you, God. So I want to encourage you this morning. We're here for a reason this morning in these psalms. And we're here because God wants to do something. And particularly for those who put their hands up and said, I'm in that tough time. That's why we're in the psalm this morning. God wants to encourage you. You don't have to stay down there, but while you're down there, God's down there with you. I want to tell you this as well. This isn't in my notes, but it's true. When you're down there, and you're part of a family, in the church family, there are others around you who'll get down there with you, like Holly did for me, and others. I don't want to decry others, just that sense that people were encouraging me, and somebody this morning came across and just encouraged me. Let's be a church that encourages each other. Let's be a church that builds each other up. Let's be a church that spots when people are struggling and asks them and prays for them and encourages them. Let's not be a church that misses it, that's too busy. And I'm saying this to myself as much as anybody else. You've heard me say before, we live in an age where it's easier than ever to encourage somebody. So easy to pick up my phone and just drop a little text to somebody. And you never know what that does. So easy to drop a little email and say, was thinking about you. And sometimes that's just all somebody needs. Just to know somebody cares. Somebody blessed us this week. They know who it is. And I texted them and said, you know what? It says, maybe it's the beginning of the week before, something I can't remember now, time, my age, you know, time seems to just be almost unimportant. But I text that person, and it was a lovely gesture that they did. I text that person and said, thank you. At the end of a tough week, What an encouragement that was, and a blessing to me to know that somebody loved and cared for me to be able to do something that was very generous and very costly to them. That's the sort of people we need to be. And can I say this as well? And I will shut up then, honest. That's why when I hear people saying, I can have a faith in God, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to be part of a church, I don't think you can. Because in the tough times, you need family. And the church is the family. And I don't understand this whole thing of, well, I can get on with God on my own, I don't need church. If that's true, why on earth did God establish church? Why on earth did God tell his people, go and build churches, go and build communities? Yes, we say God builds the church. He's the one that adds people in. He's the one that gets people saved. He's the one that does the life changing. But you know what? We're the ones that build community. We're the ones that are there for each other. And God intended that. You cannot survive on your own. I just don't believe it. We need God and we need each other. And there are people around, even in this church, never mind the outside at the moment, and you know I'm a big believer of preaching, go out and preach the gospel. There are people in the church now who need you. Are you going to be there for them? Like people have been there for me. Let's be those people. But more than anything, be the people who root when it's tough, who root into what God's given you. His promises, his word, which are sure, which cannot be shaken. Root into those words, not into the lies. Remember what God's done and remember who God is. God bless you.